The gospel reading for today is from John, chapter 1, verses 29 to 41. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain as he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Our gospel reading serves as our text for this day. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. We follow or we flee. That's what's going to happen when it comes to being a Christian, a child of God. We're either going to listen to what he's saying and follow what he's directing us in, or we go the other way. And we do this frequently in our lives, both directions we go. We say we believe, but then we have to live out the day-to-day life. And that day-to-day life can cause all kinds of problems. We want to trust in God. We want to trust in God because we want someone or something that will tell us that this life is going to be better. That there's more to life than just this. That at least this life is worth living and living out because of what's ahead. We want to know that this isn't as good as it gets, regardless of what the beer commercial convinces us of. The problem comes that we seem to want to meet God, though, on our level, on our terms, and under our circumstances. We want God to be God, but we want God to be the God we want him to be. And we want God to do things the way we want him to do them. And when God's word says something that doesn't fit our plans, well, we'll make exceptions for that word then. Make exceptions for the scripture. When God's word doesn't fit our definitions, we'll make allowances in there for other interpretations, other ideas about what God is really saying or what he means for us to know. Our text reminds us that when John was baptizing, after this baptism had taken place, he sees Jesus again, and he turns around and he looks at him and he says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." John, the one who was baptizing for the Father, had heard the voice of the Father, saw the Spirit descend as a dove, and knew that this Christ was the one. He had his focus in the right place, because God had explained to him, this is the one that you need to trust in and follow. And then just in a few verses later, he's going to send his disciples basically off to be Jesus' disciples. He had the right focus. He had a faith that was leading him to God, the Lamb of God. He wasn't, if you'll pardon the pun or not, bashful about who he was following. This is the Lamb, and he becomes that good shepherd. We're the sheep, and we need to not be bashful about our following God either. We need to place our faith in him, place our trust in him, place our hope in him, and live our lives for him. But then we need to make sure that we're doing these things, not just saying we have this faith, not just claiming to believe in Jesus, but actually living that direction. A story from quite a while back now, and very clear by the story itself. There was a pastor that came to visit a family from his church in their home, came in their home and sat down with the mom of the family, the dad of the family, and the kids. And the mom says to her eldest son, go in the other room and bring back that book that we all love so much. And he comes back a few moments later with a JCPenney catalog. Yeah. A little embarrassed because it was supposed to have been the Bible, although, boy, you know, those catalogs were thicker than most of my Bibles. A lot of stuff. See, you don't need the internet. We always had that. You just ordered it online. It just took a couple more weeks to get there back then in those days. We have advanced ourselves to this point where now, if I were to say, is your life, are your actions consistent with the faith that you proclaim, where is it you're spending your time? Where we spend our time and what we put our monies into often shows where our hearts truly are. I'm not talking about things like mortgages. We're going to put monies into those, but do we spend more on entertainment than we do in gifts to missions and to the church, to work in the community? Do we spend more time reading online and reading news and reading this, that, and the other things, and reading blogs or watching television than we do spend time with God? I mean, there are some people that make this 1 hour a week sacrifice to come to church, and pretty much that's it for their commitment to God. If that's where you are, understand that, yes, there is a little conviction in there because we need to do better. But if that's not where you are and you're already doing other things, understand there's still conviction in there because we can still do better. We can all do better. But we need to make sure that we're living the life that we're professing. I love the song, the old campfire song, true. I love it. You know, they'll know we're Christians by our love, but that's not enough. There's more to it. Our text tells us that John the Baptizer had his two disciples that were with him, and when he sees Jesus passing by, he says, look, the Lamb of God. And then when they heard him say this, they started following Jesus. Jesus turns around and asks them, what do you want? Okay, what are you going to say? God shows up, you start following him, he turns to you and he says, what do you want? I'm not sure he'd say it like that, but maybe a little more accusative to me, but what do you want? What do you want? What do you want out of this relationship with Jesus? Why are you following him? What is it that you're looking for in this relationship with Christ? Why are you a child of his, and why do you profess to have faith in this Jesus? What is it that you want? And then, when you make that understanding and you find where you are you going to continue to come to him, or are you going to go away? Are you going to follow, or are you going to flee? Are you going to run to him or run away from him? What is it you want from following Jesus? What are your expectations? What are your requirements of him? Is this relationship about you and God and eternity, or is there more that you're looking for? I mean, if the disciples had known what they were getting into, I'm not so sure they would have gone so quickly over to follow him. I mean, they had it pretty easy in their life with John. Hey, we get to wash regularly, right? You know, people are coming to us. We're staying in one place. We don't have to go out on the road. You know, they come where we are. I like this. But now they were going to face a journey that was going to involve some hardship, some sacrifice, and some scary things in their life. So their commitment to following Jesus was not just about, we are going to now love this person who we understand is going to be the Savior, but it's going to require things from us too. There's more in this relationship. There's more to it than just what God has done for us, because what God has done for us is already taken care of as far as all we need, at least. You've received the forgiveness of sins through his death and resurrection. You have already received the forgiveness of sins. What more do you need? There isn't more. There is not more that you need. You have received all you need. But we tend to, as Christians, follow because we're looking for something. Now this isn't all wrong, because God does say, come to me, tell me what you need, tell me what's in your heart, tell me your burdens, bring them to me. And he's going to take care of those things for us. He is that loving God, not just Father, but God. But come to him as that loving Father, as a child to their father and saying, this is where we are, Lord. This is where I am. This is what I'm looking for. And he does care for us and has compassion upon us and our place and our needs in this life. But truly, why do you follow him? Hopefully we can come to an understanding in our hearts and our faith that we follow him because of who he is and what he's already accomplished for us. Not because of some future expectation. There's nothing you're going to earn, but there's going to be things that are required of you now. Because it's not going to be enough to say they'll know we are Christians by our love. Now we're going to have to get involved in the mission. Get involved in the ministry. Do the work of the Lord. And for some, that's going to be going out and evangelizing. For some, that's going to be serving in the community. For some, that's going to be serving in the church. And in all kinds of other areas. But God is going to ask you, what is it you want? And once you commit to him, then he lays upon us his spirit to carry out his work in the world. Our greatest need has already been met. One day we will have the glories of heaven. Those are already guaranteed. So what more do you want from this relationship? Or what more are you willing to put in, perhaps, to this relationship? And that might have been part of where Jesus was going with these guys too, to help them to understand that you're about to commit to something. It's like saying, I do. That has some meaning, you know, some value. To say, I believe, has meaning and value. Luke says in our text that Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of those that John had told, and he went and followed Jesus, and Jesus asked him. And the first thing Andrew does is he goes back and finds his brother Simon and tells him, we found the Messiah, the Christ. So now, not only do they know that this is the one that they're going to follow, but they're excited about sharing this good news with those around them. As his children, we're called to not be childish in our faith any longer, but to grow into that maturity of what we are to be about in the church and sharing this gospel message. We're called to be sheep, but not be sheepish in our faith, to share that good news about the Lamb of God, the Christ, who takes away the sin of the world, who is the Messiah. Now that you've said that you believe in Jesus, are you going out with that kind of enthusiasm and telling others that you have found the Christ? He's been revealed to you. We need to give witness to this Jesus. We're called. And we're disciples now. We're set apart and set forth to go out into the world and understand this relationship. What is it you want from Jesus? And understand that you've already received what you need most. Go out and tell the world that this is what I found. This is who I found. And this is what it means. Are you excited about sharing the good news? And if not, then what's going on that's keeping you from getting excited about it? Because that should be something good. That should be something that brings some enthusiasm to us. It may not always be comfortable. But to talk about Jesus, to talk about the love of your life, to talk about your God. I mean, you got to want to tell. Don't keep it to yourself. Find that joy that there is in following this Savior and know, let's go out into the world with this exciting news. Not only have we found the Messiah, but hey, let me introduce you to him, because that's bound to be what Andrew said to him next. You know, not only have we found the Messiah, but with the idea, now you got to meet him. And you've already met him. And you know the joy it's brought you in your life to be a child of God. Don't hold that to yourself. Don't keep that locked away within. Don't take it like Christmas and put it in boxes and wait to put it out next February. February? All right, some of us take a little longer to get the lights up than others. Try November or December. I'm already onto the candy thing coming up. I'm candy in February. The ladies are making it. I love eating it. This is good stuff. Here's your commercial for the day. Today's sermon is brought to you by the LWML, makers of fine quality candy for Valentine's Day. Now back to our sermon. God calls us to talk about Him. And I don't care how you talk about Him. Talk about Him in humor. Talk about Him in love. Talk about Him in your life. Talk about Him in their need. But talk about Him. And share that joy. There is joy in being a child of God. We found the Messiah. We found the Christ. Come and meet Him. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.